Welcome, everyone, to Talk with Jordan, High Tech on the Low. Tsubiki, how are you today?
I'm great, Jordan, High Tech on the Low. How are you?
I'm good. Well, thank you for coming on today. We're very excited to talk to you. This is episode 34 of Talk with Jordan, High Tech on the Low, sponsored by Front Team Communities, where we have 12 different communities, 6 different verticals, and 3,000 entrepreneurs and tech enthusiasts who all just want to get in touch with you and network. So, Tsubiki, today, you know, we're gonna get right down to it. Okay, we want to know. I like the name of your company, Lightico, and I've been saying it all around the office today in the studio. Just light them up. Let's light it up. Let's light it. You know, all the things with light and sound and beauty and things like that. So I want you to light it up for us. I want you to give it to us a little bit more. What is the business? And explain us a little bit about yourself as well when you're explaining the business, kind of how you came about this business path.
So I think that maybe I should, first of all, light it up. It's awesome. That's how we use, that's the tone that we use for our parties. So we have light it up, light up the night, and now we have light up the desert, which is an awesome party that we're going to have soon. So
sounds dangerous.
It sounds awesome. Party in the desert. That's what we're going to have. So tell you a bit about myself. First of all, 20 years in high tech since I was the Israeli army. You know, every person in Israel eventually goes to the army at a certain age. I was an engineer that I joined them. So I've been in the realm of what's called unified communication, customer experience type of development for the last 20 years. So experienced a problem that started out back at the 2000 and moved forward to 2021, even post-COVID, where enterprises are conducting conversations with customers and trying to complete onboarding and servicing use cases using paper, which is still being used very widely these days. Right. So Lightico embarked on a journey to eliminate paper from consumer-facing interactions, which means that if you want to join a bank, you want to change an address, you want to sign up for an insurance policy, you want to do any one of those, it would be paperless, what we call as digital completion, turning every consumer-facing process into a easy mobile-first, mobile web digital experience. So that's all Lightico about. I've been after the army, I did my B science. Then I got married. I have a wonderful wife, 3 children. One of them is 3 months old. So I hope nobody hears him here in the background.
Because it's all right. If they come in, it's a guest, right? It's a special guest. That's how we'll talk.
It's a guest, exactly.
There you go.
I started working with an Israeli tech integrator to learn like what's a software company all about. I think I was 22 back then. After I was an engineer, customer support. Afterwards, I was a pre-sale. Moved from pre-sale to management. Managed a team of 25 people. Then I decided Israel is enough. I want to go international. Moved to Nice Systems. Did 2 product roles and managed the marketing for the recording line of business, which is the biggest LOB at Nice. And then I decided to start Lightico with 2 amazing people.
So how long has Lightico been around?
Lightico has been around since 2015. It was basically 2 years of bootstrapping while we were doing consulting. And during the development of Lightico, it was a lot of bootstrapping before we could have gotten the first client. But after the first client, everybody are full all in. So the first client came in 2018. So it means that Lightico is 3.5 go-to-market years old.
Wow, that's amazing. So basically, you're telling me that almost for like, 2.5 years, 3 years, Lightico was truly bootstrapped and didn't have a client. It was just, we're making the system, making the process, figuring out the solutions, figuring out the features.
Taking on beta customers, design partners, building the software for them, adapting the software for their specific needs, learning and understanding if they are a big enough vertical for us to go to market. Only when we understood everything, then we decided to go to market and actually raise money.
For sure. How was the process of being bootstrapped for that long and, you know, going through those kind of different, you know, pilots and design partners? I mean, I know from my own experience, it can be very, very challenging, you know, to do that stuff. It can be very also, you know, unmotivating in certain ways because you feel like you're not going forward when everyone else is, right?
Yeah.
but so how was it for you, Tsubiki?
I can talk about myself, not my co-founders, but I know that everybody had kind of the same feeling. First of all, you needed to make money some way. I was married. I had one sweet little girl. I needed to quit a very well-paying job at Nice in order to become independent and start a company.
Sure.
So the first thing I did is look for sources of revenue. How can I personally, as a consultant, make money? After we got that, so it left us something like 30% of the day to focus on Nightico and the nights and the weekends. So,
okay. So you basically split your time between another job and then 30% and of course your family, we can't forget that.
Yeah.
So your family, a job, and then 30% of your time is spent on trying to develop something at that point, which you maybe didn't call Lightico, but something at that point that was going to become Lightico.
30% of a human time, which means that 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 7 a.m. in the morning, those are hours for the first employees called us aliens. We hardly slept for that period, but we
more like zombies together than aliens, right?
I think they said that zombies don't have creativity, aliens does. So we're kind of an alien. So that's pretty much what we've done. And we started all of it during an MBA project. So we got a project in the MBA. Let's build a startup, like a fake startup with some presentations. We did our MBA, myself and Omri, one of the co-founder at the College of Management at Rishon LeZion.
Okay.
And there was a small class. Let's build a presentation deck, have a mentor. Let's build some kind of a company. We took it very seriously. And
okay.
We used it in order to take our idea and elevate it to a company. We finished the accelerator with first two design customers.
Oh, so you got just from the accelerator itself, you got two design partners.
We did it, not part of the accelerator, but we said, okay, we're going to take the accelerator one step further, not just doing it as a class for the MBA, but let's actually build a company, build a tech team, start a beta, and do everything around this.
Like, see what we can do with this.
Yeah, let's see what we can do with this. Let's do it for real and not as a play. And eventually, more than 100 employees, millions of dollars in revenue, which is fantastic what happened.
Well, that's amazing.
That,
you know, that's a congratulations right there. But what I want to go back to is this whole idea of the bootstrapping. You know, how was that? How did you push forward when you're in these bootstrapping days of trying to find the right partners, trying to find the right pilots, getting pushed back to the drawing board, going forward? How was it for you?
Challenging from one end, but I think we had an advantage over there because we knew the problem. The only thing that we needed to convince everybody is that our solution is the solution to the problem, because it's a wide problem that existed for many years. Nobody managed to solve it up until then. Many enterprises tried to and couldn't. So the main thing for us is air. We needed enough
air.
Financial.
I like that.
Yeah, we needed enough financial coverage to keep our families healthy, while being able to build the software, get to the clients and do it. So it was 2 years of, we knew what we needed to build. We needed the time and the air in order to do that.
Right. It's that idea of the space, right? Because just as much as you can have a great idea, if you don't have the space to create it,
exactly,
right? Because you don't have, let's say, a place to live, or you don't have the money to do what you got to do, well, of course, you're not going to be able to do it. I think that's so important sometimes. I think it's very, you know, people leave it out. Now, fast forwarding those 3.5 years, right? You start, you finish the MBA accelerator, you pushed it forward. Now you're working on the whole product. You finally get your first customer. What was that like?
It was for free. So
what was
what
free.
We've done is,
that's amazing.
The first customer was for free. Yeah. So fast forward, we had a product. We got to a few customers. We showed the product. They told us it's an amazing problem, but you have a zillion features missing in order for it to be productive. So the constant changes between deploying to production, and I'm saying production, it was in Justin's living room, one of my co-founders. That was production. It was
as all good tech,
yeah,
all good tech ventures, you know.
Exactly. So it started. We're in Israel. We don't have garages, so we don't have a garage startup. We have a living room startup. So everything started from there. Getting that first client was challenging, but
okay.
we managed to do it. That was a big sigh of relief. But that's not enough to raise money. So we needed to get 20, 30 customers in order to say, okay, we have no, don't have a problem that we solve for one specific customer. We have a trend.
Right, we have an industry that we can help. Exactly.
We have an industry. We have a trend. We have a territory because the first customer you guessed was in Israel.
Right.
Now we need to get, you need to get a customer in the customers in the States. Now you don't have any cash. Your English is okay. I think my English is okay. I'm not an American. I don't have American English. So to sell to American customers, that was very challenging for me. And think about it. We have a team that is assembled up of myself, which I am a marketing product person. We have Omri, my co-founder, which is a legal, finance, security operations guy. And we have two engineers. So we need to split ourselves to a zillion pieces. So I started the day in my day job consulting, finished at 1 p.m., moved to Lydico, building the software, sitting with the engineers, everything. Arriving home at 8 p.m., enjoying my family a bit. 10 p.m., I'm outside in my porch, SDRing for 5 hours every day for 2 months until I got 15 customers in the States that are using the software, that can vouch for us and that pay. Once we got those 15 customers, we managed to get a nice pre-seed. With that pre-seed, the sky was the limit. We still didn't take any money, by the way, after the first invest. We continued consulting. We used all the cash that we got from the first pre-seed investors for employees. We recruited one SDR, one salesperson, invested that cash because we knew how to get money and we knew that it was critical to invest that cash in good people at the beginning in order for us to be able to scale ourselves, not to take that first money and be able to pay ourselves. That wouldn't change.
Well, that's very important because I think a lot of people, you know, they look for the payouts, but in a sense, what you're not looking for is the growth. And you guys clearly wanted the growth and the development and getting that new clientele. Now, when you got, you know, those 15 clients after your hours and hours, I imagine you don't even have it even counted. Let's just say hours, right? Let's just call it hours.
Hours.
Yeah, we'll call it hours because you don't even want to put, it's not even nice to put a number to it at this point. You know what I mean? But it took you all that time to find these 15 customers. What was going through your mind? You know, did you ever have a moment of, holy crap? You know, did you ever have a moment of, wow, this is amazing? Or, I mean, what was your general feeling like? I can't imagine it was the most easy thing in the world here, you know?
No, it's so overwhelming. I think what I knew back then is that I have enough skills to make it happen. I don't have enough skills to scale it because I understood that I can work and get one or two or three customers, but because it's very hard for me, it doesn't mean that professionals that will be doing those roles won't do it better, faster in a scalable manner. So I understood that the efforts that I'm putting in are not efforts that are going to stay for long. It's just a mean for a goal that is the first milestone. Let's get to 100K of ARR and get that first seed money in, a big check that can help us take all those small little tasks that we are doing as co-founders at each of everyone. I was marketing, I was product, I was training. I used to go over to customer sites and train the representatives that are using the system. I did everything. Now I have a training department. I have a marketing department, which is the best that I've ever seen.
Right.
So they're doing a zillion times better job than what I tried to do 5 years ago, which is what you want there to happen. Smart people.
Right, but you're a true entrepreneur. Yeah, no, but sure. But you're a true entrepreneur. You're going for every little part of the business. I mean, beyond just learning the facets of the business so you then know how to kind of direct the people who join. I mean, you're actually doing what anyone in business does, pushes their own thing as hard as they can, as far as they can, as much
time as they have. With the skills that you have,
exactly, man. You know, took the words right out of my mouth. Like, should you be doing the podcast? So what I'm thinking here is I want to kind of understand, though, where was the flip for you in terms of seeing, okay, now we have something. Right now we actually have it, because sometimes some people feel, you know, I've talked to a lot of entrepreneurs and, you know, they'll go, let's say, you know, a seed round, pre-seed, you know, round A even, and they still don't feel like they totally have the business under control, or they don't have the industry that they're going for, or whatever, right? There could still be other iterations. Where is your kind of like, aha, I have it now. Like now we're on the path.
I don't think I had it yet. No, wow. I'm kidding. We never.
I like that.
No, it was multiple ahas. The first aha was, we built myself and two more guys at the first days, we built a very cool campaign for very small business insurance agents that was freaking successful. We got something like 10 leads a day, converted like 30% of it. That was fantastic.
Wow.
And you know, back then at the early days, you don't really look at the unit economics of cost of acquisition and how you're converting it, but it was great. Why? Because we understood that the problem does not exist only in our head. The leap of faith that we have actually worked. People are using the software. Customers are using the software. That was very fantastic for us. Then we understood that in order to scale it, we need to scale up to enterprise. Why? Because in enterprise contracts and mid-size level contracts, first of all, we are better because we come from an enterprise background. And second of all, you grow faster, which is one of the most critical things, right? We are here to establish a unicorn. And in order to be there, we need $100 million of revenue. How do you get there? Either $100 million contracts or $10,100 contracts, something like
that. Right, you're wanting the right customer base here, of course.
Exactly.
You want to grow the,
So we had two aha moments. One of them was when we got the very small businesses and we managed to push on the gas and to get to that 100K. And the second one was, wait, we can get one customer that will pay everything that we've done in a year. So we shifted the entire company in a week. We went to a board meeting. We told our board members, this is what we think. We had agreement from everyone across the board. And we just decided to flip the company culture in a minute. We got the right executives that have been there, done that, seen around the corner what's going to happen, when you will be an enterprise. We build the brand, the processes, and the technology to support enterprise-grade software. And we managed to get a few six-digit contracts from two verticals that we understood that those are the verticals that we can run towards $100 million of revenue. And that's the real aha moment. Seeing that all the effort of building an enterprise company, going and competing with billion-dollar companies and winning. And eventually, we understood that we have a very big market with a very strong team that can target that specific market, which is important, the matching between the team and the vertical.
That's impressive. I mean, that's actually very impressive. And that's very cool, too. I think that's also kind of shows you the different aha stages, right? You know, the stages of aha, we can call it, you know, like where it is that you grow within your own mindset as you're developing the business. I think that's very, very interesting. Now, going on to your kind of clientele today, you know, how do you find your clients today? Obviously, you know, it's changed. You mentioned you have a whole sales department. It's changed from the 5 hours in your backyard, right? You know, how do you get your clients today and who are your clients today?
First of all, how do I get my clients? By looking at, I don't know, the best revenue operations that I have ever seen with my own eyes, taking an end-to-end funnel with inside sales to get enterprise customers, which is very, very rare these days. So we have a marketing department that gets there, the inbound leads, and does outbound account-based marketing. We create a pool of leads. We turn them, we move them to a team of SDRs, very skilled SDRs, some outbound, some inbound. Those are taking those lists or leads and converting them into meetings with account executives. We have a team of account executives that takes the meetings, turn them into qualified pipeline, and then them into a deal. From that, move forward to program manager that takes it and deploy. And then we have an account management that gets connected to that client and what we call farm instead of hunt, just create the relationships and being able to expand Lydico within that account. That's the type of go-to-market machine we have as inside sales. Soon, hopefully, when
I also have to say, I just love how exact you are with that, because I think it also shows how much you understand like the customer. Because your whole point here is trying to help the customer in their whole process
of
stuff.
Of course.
And so you're like, so I love it. I literally, as you were describing it, I was like, I love it.
Deep dive into specifics, because when an account executive has something in the pipeline, he has a mutual action plan with that customer, taking the customer and explaining the customer how to buy Lydico. We are consultants for the customer on how to buy Lydico, when to bring security in, when to bring legal, how to negotiate with finance. We even teach them and train them and have all the materials for them to share internally. It's a huge practice.
Amazing.
That happens in order to get, you know, you want to get, we have BMW Finance as a client, we have British Telecom, we have Capital One as a client. Those are clients that in order to get them via inside sales without meeting them in person, it's hardly impossible. If you don't have a top-notch, error-free process that think about every point, you won't get to the finish line. Because in enterprise, it's enough for one person to change, and it's enough for one person not to like you, and you have a mental breakdown.
No, for sure. For sure. A mental breakdown on the side, and then obviously
exactly.
Your business fails, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that too, because I think the whole idea that you're bringing up about the processes is very key, right? A lot of people, I think, neglect sometimes the process of their business for the solution and vice versa. And I think it's great that you guys have clearly combined both your solution and the processes that fit it to kind of meet everything together. And so you're this like amazing customer journey, digitizing everything and making it easy for you and getting everyone online. And, you know, it works. It like, it really, really works.
But
I mean,
it
this
costs
is beyond,
a lot. It costs a lot.
In what sense?
I think that's a decision for every entrepreneur, I think, to take at the beginning. You have two ways to build a company. We chose one way. Our way was, let's get the best CRO, the best VP customer experience, the best VP engineering, and the best VP product from companies
sure.
that build products and solutions for our verticals and target market, and build executive leadership when they understand what to look forward
right.
in a year, 2 years, 3 years time frame. They can build the right organization to be successful. What's the downfall for this one is that it costs a lot to get the executives first. So when you get the seed money and you spend it on strong executives, if you fail, you're done. So it's very risky and very costly, but when it's done right, I think that's the way to do it, especially when you go enterprise inside. So that's the way we've built it. The other way, you get rising stars or just stars. You build it, you manage it yourself as an entrepreneur. And when every stage moves forward, you bring them a manager, which I think isn't fair. But you need to do things for some time, and you don't really know what's going to be in the next phase. So we chose the other part when we bring the executives that fit our mindset, and they've built operation.
So they are almost predict the next stage for you.
They know it. They don't even
right.
need to predict it. I think from experience, they already know what's going to be the next step.
Interesting. I like that. I like that that kind of interest there, that the dichotomy between the two different processes. Very interesting. Now, let me ask you, we're kind of coming towards the end of the podcast. So I like to always ask people when we're getting to the end, kind of what is your advice for up and coming entrepreneurs in terms of managing their business, or anything that you would just like to give to them, you know, for people to understand kind of, you know, how to go about the process better and how to enjoy it better, or how to do it better, or how to learn from your mistakes, whatever you want it to be.
I have so many. I think that the two best ones that I learned at the beginning, and I think that it's very hard for entrepreneurs because we're rock stars, right? We know everything. We know how to get things done. But the truth is we don't. And when you understand that you don't know what's ahead, and you have so much missing information, you need to surround yourself with consultants and information. So for me, it was books, a lot of them, the best ones from the top entrepreneurs on the planet, that I read at the beginning of the way in order to understand how they looked at things. I took what is relevant for me because some of them weren't in verticals or types of businesses like myself. And I surrounded myself with the best consultants. And I think the most important one, Omri Brown, Justin Josh, and Vladimir Levin. Those are three co-founders that I think that sometimes you're saying four co-founders, it's too much for a startup. But when you bringing the right partners that when you look forward, you have people to fight the fight with you. You might have less part of the company, but you have a less part of a huge thing that is going to happen. So choose the right partners. Don't hesitate to get them on board. Get the right advisors to teach you what you don't know, because you don't know a lot of things, and then read a lot.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I also personally, I like to always say read a lot too. I try to read a book a month. So I love that idea, and I think it's super big.
Yeah,
yeah. But you know, you have more you have less time than me, so it's okay.
I have 1 hour commute each way, so I'm just listening to them in all the time.
Oh yeah, book on tape. That's what I do too. No, it's perfect. Yeah. Listen, Sveky, this is amazing conversation. I really appreciate you doing this, especially from your home, even with all the nutsness that was going on in your life. So I really appreciate you taking the time to spend it with us. I really wish Lytico a bunch of success. I wish you personally a bunch of success and moving forward. And thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jordan. Enjoyed it a lot, and thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.